All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again for Dom, a little more off-season content. We are underway, first of all, over on the Patreon feed with a Gabon rewatch, and back here today to help pass the time between Survivor 41 and Survivor 42 with another couple of rounds, probably, few rounds maybe, of one of our old favorites, No More Lockies. Dom, how are you feeling?
Feeling great, but feeling a bit of trepidation over No More Lockies, because for as much as I want to say that I feel rusty and that I need some time to get my skills back up to par, I was always terrible at this game, and so actually this may be better insofar as if I can wipe the slate clean now and just go in it with no preconceptions whatsoever, maybe I can actually figure out how to do this properly.
I'm always very excited ahead of time for these No More Lockies podcasts, and I really... I'm not sure why that is, because these are by a mile the most frustrating is the wrong word, but like terrifying kind of podcasts to do in the moment. But hopefully we can have some fun here at least a little from time to time along the way and not have it just be the most stressful experience of our entire Survivor podcasting careers. But
I mean, for every other podcast we do, in theory, we are on the same side. There is no competition involved. And then also, for most of our podcasts, we don't have to be good at anything, as weird as that sounds. You know, there's no standard we have to meet, whereas for this, you know, if you make one wrong move and you're out, and or usually it's I make the wrong move and I'm out, but hopefully we can mix that up a little bit today.
I mean, I don't know about you, but it sounds like we may be on different pages. I consider all of our podcasts to be deeply adversarial. It's me it's me against you in every podcast we do. But yeah, for anyone new to the No More Lockies mix, the rules will not be explained, but I have confidence that people will be able to pick up on them just through context much more easily than I would be able to explain them at the top. So we're just going to keep going with that method. And Dom, as badly as you may want the slate to be totally wiped clean here, we are still at a score of 5-2, and No More Lockies is played with tennis scoring. So it's first one to six wins and must win by two. So I am in a pretty advantageous spot here as things stand now, although
I regret to announce that yes. Colin has now been deported for not getting the mandatory you know, vaccinations and everything. So there will be no more Lockies in this episode, unfortunately. You know, the whole championship has been cancelled.
Oh, I see. Okay. Either way, sitting at 5-2 and however this ends up going, obviously we don't know the results yet. We haven't even started, but I think what we're going to do is record a few of these games, separately and then just compile them together to make it easier on ourselves and the audience, because it gets very confusing for us as players when we try to do multiple games back to back and get confused about which rules applied to which rounds and so forth. So we will see if I'm able to close this one out here, or if Dom can narrow the gap, or if, like the last couple of times, the score just stays exactly the same because I punted away on an unforced error at the very end. So with all of that out of the way, Dominic,
I would also say, I think it is so much easier when you're not in the moment to keep track of what the rules are and the first time that these violations have come up, because I have had some fan feedback roasting me for how bad I am at this game, and also roasting you indirectly too, where it seems like, you know, one of us will put a rule in place and then immediately forget about that rule within two rounds of the game and not be caught in it by the other person. It's really just a comedy of errors back and forth.
It's an absolute nightmare, and I would imagine this game is still fun and substantially less stressful when you are not doing it in the context of knowing that this is an audio-only podcast that many people are going to be listening to. I would love to play this game off-air sometime and alleviate a lot of those headaches. But regardless, away we go, and it has been long enough since the last time we played that I don't remember where we are in like the alternating between who's player one and who's player zero. So I will give you the option of, would you like to give the first name or give the season from which the first name shall come?
I'll give the season. Why not? And I'll be playing so that I don't even remember if this was a rule. Can you stay on the same season, or
you can? So this is the thing is, there at a certain point in the game, will often become some perhaps glaring incentive to kind of piggyback off of the other person's last play once someone has identified kind of a safe range. It's within the rules, but I would say, like, frowned upon may even be too extreme, but let's try to not make that a super recurring thing. We'll see how it goes, and someday we may need to change the rules.
Okay. So with that in mind, I will give you a season to start with, and what better season to kick this off than to tie this into our Patreon rewatch. Give me someone from Survivor Gabon.
Okay. Survivor Gabon, you would think that I would be very familiar with all of the names on Survivor Gabon, considering we just rewatched the whole premiere, which featured the entire cast. Where to begin on Survivor Gabon? I guess let's do this. Let's go for... I'm trying to come up with a fun one just because it's been a while, and I don't want to go for any of these super obvious names. I will play Kelly Czarnecki, pronunciation deeply in question there, and I will go for no more names that contain the letter Z, either first or last name.
Love it, love it. Give me, in that case, our most recent Survivor winner, who I am doing a brief and cursory Z check for, Erica Kazupanen, I want to say. No more people who have animal metaphors associated with them.
Animal metaphors associated? Yeah, so the lion. No, I gotcha. Okay.
No more lions disguised as lambs or vice versa or anything else, even vaguely in that space.
Okay. So no more animal metaphors. I think let's perhaps clean this up a little bit. I'm going to go for Eddie Fox. And I'm going to say no more people with animals in their name. And it does not need to be their complete name, but it can just any part of their name, the consecutive letters anywhere within either a first or last name is that of an animal.
Wait, so if the string of letters Fox happened to be in someone's first name just nestled in the middle, that would also be out of bounds?
So for instance, like Jeff Foxworthy, if he were on Survivor, would now be off the table.
Okay. I could see that one just somehow tripping us up in like 20 minutes from now.
I could see it tripping us up in about 2 minutes from now, just for the record.
I'm trying to be optimistic to kick off the new year, but I think you are maybe being more realistic there. Let's see. Give me...
And for the record, while Dom is in the tank here, there is no strict time limit on how long you can think about it. Although if we get to a certain point, if we both agree, I think like a 2 minute or so time limit could become worthwhile later on, because it's a very easy game during the early rounds. It gets substantially more difficult as things keep progressing.
Yeah, this is definitely easier if it's like a YouTube web series or something where you can have a shot clock and you can edit it down easily and so on. But for the sake of avoiding just hideous amounts of dead air during the podcast, which no one wants to listen to, least of all each other, we got to keep it moving along. So with that in mind, with a sense of urgency looming over all of the proceedings here, give me... Rick Devons, no more people who lost fire making.
Okay. Rick Devons, no more people who lost fire making. I'm going to come clean on this one. I've already forgotten most of the rules. I can't find any animals in there and already don't remember the rule that I played on whoever went first. So,
to be fair, you use a very forgettable contestant as an example, so I can't give you too much.
Okay. And no letter Zs, I now recall being the other thing to be nervous about here. So let's not risk it, and let's play someone who was out relatively early. I think let's go back to, how about Silas Gaither? And I am going to go for, as I quickly check to make sure I'm not violating any pre-existing things in there, I don't know of any challenges that can be had here. So I will go for no more first names that both begin and end with the same letter.
Okay. Noted.
And this is the problem, is when you're doing this and it's the other person's turn, you're thinking about how you can catch them, and then it becomes your turn again and you have nothing.
Right, right. You kind of, yeah, it's, bah.
And for the record, I'll note one other thing as Dom is considering which direction he wants to go here, just as a brief reminder, there is a challenge process, and if you think the other person has violated one of the rules, and two incorrect challenges just means game over. And then once one of us has been eliminated, the other person will then have to prove it, essentially, and name one final person that does not violate any of the rules to secure the victory. And that has proven to be a much bigger hurdle than I anticipated it being when we invented that rule in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe we'll, should we go back to the well for Survivor Gabon here? Give me, the boot on the episode that we're about to talk about in just a few short hours. Palomo Soto Castillo, I believe. No more double-barreled surnames.
Okay. So, to clarify double-barreled, does that mean a hyphen has to be included, or are you talking... there's a very clear distinction between double-barreled and multiple capital letters, which is a rule that we've had before, and I'd like to just clarify that up front. For instance, like... Cass McQuillan has multiple capital letters in her name, but it is not double-barreled. So we're talking hyphens.
Yes, two barrels separated by a hyphen, a dash, an M-dash, what have you.
Okay. With that, let's see. Castillo, can I find an animal anywhere in there? None are coming to mind. So I will go for... I too will play one of the new kids on the block who were not eligible the last time that we were playing No More Lockies because we didn't know who they were yet. I will go, I think, for Evie Jagoda. And I am going to do no more people who, within 90 seconds, you can go on Google Images and find a picture of them wearing a bow tie.
So one example there would be Maine's own Bob Crowley.
Indeed.
Right?
I think there are some sneaky ones. I think that one could be a challenge that gets played later, just like as a shot in the dark, not to continue with the Survivor 41 references.
Yeah, I mean, Bob would be a bad example to give because his name begins and ends with the same letter. As it turns out, does Evie.
Oh, fuck me. Oh, my God. All right. This one doesn't count. You know what, Don?
No,
my recorder messed up.
It turns out
we weren't recording any of this.
I have to take my W's where I can get them, so happy to put that one in the bank.
Oh, my God. Disaster. I mean, I go out one turn on my own rule that I implemented 5 minutes ago. So I suppose with that, it is now on you to come up with one name, if you think you can pull this off, to secure your victory here by proving it.
Yes. So, got to play this as safe as humanly possible here. No fire makers, no Z's. I was literally about to say Ozzy, which has as many Z's as a Survivor contestant's name has or will ever have in the future. So, would have been a truly embarrassing way to go out after, you know, rejoicing in my momentary triumph there. No first and last matching letters, no double-barreled surnames.
This is humiliating, and I will cop to the fact that by going back to Gabon multiple times, I just was thinking about Bob and came up with the bow tie category and wanted to go with another person that I could use to play that. So, very poorly thought out here by me. Easily the worst game we have ever seen anyone play. Welcome back to No More Lockies.
Also, doing a quick check for is this person normal enough to not be wearing a bow tie in their day-to-day life? No shade to anyone who does, of course, but, you know, it certainly is a choice with a capital C. So, with all of this at the forefront of my mind, give me... Oh, God,
I mean, you only have, like, 600 people from whom to choose right now, so it's tough.
I don't know why this name comes to mind. Give me Alexis Maxwell, who I think satisfies all of those conditions. Fingers crossed.
I mean, nothing is immediately coming to mind. I'm trying to find some sort of obscure animal somewhere within there. I can't do it.
Not a bow tie kind of gal, as far as I know.
This is the thing, is I may as well take a swing at challenging on the bow tie thing, so I'm now going to use my challenge, if possible, and see if I can get Alexis Maxwell, Survivor, and somehow find within 90 seconds a photo of her in a bow tie, which would be a lot easier if I could type correctly here on my phone. I am scrolling. I'm not seeing many bow ties, unfortunately. I'm seeing a lot of beach pictures, a lot of dresses in the photos where she's not out playing Survivor. For whatever reason, I'm getting a picture of Jeff Varner out of nowhere. We have a holiday photo here of her holding a couple of dogs, but she's wearing a turtleneck.
This is going in a very strange direction, I have to say.
This is not ideal. I mean, I don't see myself pulling through here. I got a picture of her.
Just gotta take the loss with grace, you know, if you ask me.
I've got her in a sash and a tiara. Heard it both ways. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to just call this a game where the rust is getting kind of shaken off here for me. And you know what, Dom, if nothing else, a 5-3 score is a lot more exciting than the 5-2 score. It's still match point in my favor, but I've historically run very good in No More Lockies, so I kind of deserve this. Oh man, this is so frustrating. I got another photo of her holding a baby in like street clothes with something around her neck, but it looks like it's just sunglasses in the collar of her shirt. So
no more photos of Alexis Maxwell in any context.
I think that's enough. All right. Well, I would first and foremost like to apologize to the listeners for one of the least suspenseful games in the history of No More Lockies, but that's the way it's going to go. Dom, we've both had games along these lines in the past, but for now, job well done, sir. A 5-3 score as we now enter the next game. Okay, we're back now for game two. A disastrous beginning here by me, but the good news, I'm spinning it positively in a couple of different ways. Not only is the overall set score now much closer, furthermore, and this is something I have genuinely found non-ironically, like legitimately very, very comforting over the years, is since the very first time we began this podcast over a decade ago at this point, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind or in anyone else's mind that Dom is, of course, the clear audience favorite. And so stop it. There's zero question whatsoever that the majority, overwhelming supermajority of people listening to this are probably rooting for Dom instead of me. So at least those people are happier than at least they were for the bulk of the earlier episodes of No More Lockies.
To the extent that anyone is rooting for me, it's surely out of a sense of like pity, arguably misplaced, arguably not, underdog status. Everyone loves the underdog, and I surely am the underdog in this game. So, we're really going to cling to that.
We'll see. I mean, this is the thing, is when we're playing a match to six and I'm up 5-2, I had match point multiple times. If I could just come up with one more clean name and blew it both times, I know 5-3 on paper still seems like I have a big advantage, but I am going into this game feeling like this is essentially a must win. If I let you claw back to 5-4, I'm going to start feeling like I'm the underdog going forward, and that is not going to be fun.
Okay, well, let's root for that outcome, or at least I will. I'm not expecting you to, and add a little more suspense into the proceedings.
Okay, so new game now beginning, and for the record, I will piece these together, and there will be no break between game one and game two, but we did take like 20, 30 minutes or so just so I could go collect myself and weep for a little while there, but ready to get back on the horse, nowhere to go but up. Dom, I will be player zero this time, and I will have you choose someone from the great season of Survivor Marquesas.
Okay, okay. Let's see what we're working with here. Oh, let's throw a cat among the pigeons early here. Give me the great Zoe Xanadakis. No more players where a letter appears in both their first name and their last name.
Any letter?
Yeah,
that's
any letter.
Ridiculous.
Not just the Z's or the Z's, heard it both ways, but also the other 25 letters in the glorious Roman alphabet.
Oh my God! I mean, this is going to be. Wait, hang on. Any letter from their first name cannot at any point be in their last name?
Any letter. That's what I said. All of this stuff about, oh, well, you have 600 people to choose from. No, you don't. Not anymore.
Oh, my God.
Playing this game on hard mode.
I mean, this is beyond unprecedented. This is totally smashing the hourglass or breaking the game wide open. This is unfathomably difficult. I'm trying.
You've seen those like writing challenges where people try to do a whole paragraph without the letter E or whatever. This is that just dialed up the extreme and poured it into no more loggies.
I mean, this one's going to be even worse than the first one. I can't come up with literally anyone who fits this. I guess give me. I'm going to have to like triple check all of these. This is a nightmare.
I might have to walk this back now that I think about it more. This is
that's an insane rule for rule number one.
The whole like lack of vowels thing really is
exactly. Vowels,
hard to overcome.
The vowels are going to be next to impossible. How about consonants?
Okay.
Can we make it just consonants that only can appear once per name?
Okay, that's a good compromise then. No overlapping consonants between first names and last names.
Okay. I mean, it's still going to be an absolute disaster. No overlapping consonants between first names and last names. Jesus. All right. I guess let me go for no overlapping consonants. I think I better play it safe here and play someone with very few consonants in their name. I will play, and I'm even struggling to confidently play this one name. I'm going to play Tom Buchanan, I think. Let me just make sure that I'm not overlooking anything. Tom Buchanan feels safe, right?
Is big a canonical part of his name? Is it Big Tom Buchanan, or how are we litigating that?
It is not in this context, because then I would not be able to play him. I guess I'm going with Tom Buchanan, and you know what? Let's play this one on hard mode indeed. No more returnees.
Okay, okay. Really just ramping this up from the outset here.
The over-under on how long this game takes is going to be about 8 minutes, maybe.
Oh, this one is nice. This is going to be nice and snappy either way. And if I end up winning, which is not going to be because I threw any feat of skill on my own part, as we both understand, it's going to be because one of us is walking face first into, if not one of these rules, I'm sure some more will come up to make this even harder. But assuming this is done in like 5 minutes or whatever, we could fit in another game here. We could add even more content. So, okay. Big Tom, no more returnees. Give me your fave, Evie Jagoda. No more people who were booted in the same episode as another player.
Okay. I would not... That's another one that I'm going to unknowingly, or at least very conceivably, see myself just not realizing that someone was booted in the same episode as another player, but we of course did have Evie and Nasir both leave simultaneously on Survivor 41. Spoiler alert on anyone who is not caught up there. My God, man, this is a true nightmare. Because, and to be fair, I've kind of done this to myself, because all of the biggest names, for the most part, have gone on to return to Survivor. So, with that I will play. Oh my God, this consonant thing is an absolute nightmare. This is the cruelest rule that has ever been put in place. I for my money, in the history of No More Lockies. So, man, I will go for, I think I have one. I'm gonna go for Hayden Moss. Although, did Hayden make the finale is the problem that I'm having, in which case he would have been booted in the same episode as other players, and I think he did.
Oh wow,
So,
that was an angle I hadn't even considered, and surely would have walked into eventually. So
okay.
although having said that, if this game somehow does last for long enough, I probably will walk into it anyway. My
Yeah.
memory does not last for that long,
I
so
think
we'll
I have
see.
to I think he did get to it was Katie who went out at Final Six in that rock draw, so Hayden presumably there in the finale. My goodness, man, what are you doing to both me, yourself, and the audience, might I add, who are gonna have to sit through so much of us just hemming and hawing. And now, like, I've come up with a couple names that I'm not sure if like premieres or finales were double episodes where multiple people were booted, so I'm nervous along those lines.
Let's clarify officially here. How are we treating stuff like this kind of pile up on Redemption Island or Edge of Extinction?
In what, so do you mean like if someone is eliminated on Redemption Island, that counts as a second elimination on top of whoever got eliminated at Tribal Council that night?
That's what I'm asking, basically. Or on top of that, in the finales of those seasons where the first order of business is we have 12 people that we need to clear off this island before we can do anything else. Those are the two situations that come up to me.
I think let's not, let's say Tribal Council only eliminations.
Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that.
Okay, so with that, I am going to play. I think I'm safe to play Katie Hansen, right? From Philippines. I think I'm okay there.
Hey, you tell me.
And I am going to just throw a complete grenade here that I am equally likely to fall victim to as you are. I do, the only thing I know about Katie Hansen, other than that she does not have repeating consonants between her first name and her last name, is she is a former Miss Teen Delaware. So I'm going to say no more Delaware people who are listed as being from Delaware, but I don't know any of them either. I have no idea. So that's, if you need a challenge at the end of the game, you can at least take a shot on Delaware to either of us.
Okay.
This is
There
a
have got to
nightmare.
be so many like stealth Delawareans, Delawarios. Like, what's the title there?
I don't know. I believe Scally would probably be able to fill us in on that. I don't know if he's from New York, but I think he went to University of Delaware to semi-dox Scally. So he would
See,
probably know.
usually it goes the other way. Usually it's people from Delaware try to escape to the Big Apple, but instead it's, you're going in reverse there.
He may be originally from Delaware. I don't know, and just lives in New York now. I don't know.
Let's see.
This is so brutal. I don't know why you did this to us.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's not even like I'm doing it to you. I'm doing it to myself as well. I'm equally as likely, if not more so, based on precedent, to trip myself up with my
And
own
the other
rules.
problem
So.
is, it's a rule that's so difficult to get around that you just forget about all of the other rules as well because you're so focused on that one. I'm playing bow ties and shit, and you're over here saying removing half the field.
That
Take
would
your time
definitely
because I
for
can't
the
come up with
people.
anyone.
Well, hey, for the people who do like to spend their time computing these things, what would your estimate be as to the percentage of contestants eliminated by that one consonant rule?
A shared consonant. I mean, it's probably not as extreme as we're making it sound, but I would guess it's got to be at least like 20, 30%, somewhere around, if not higher.
There's something to look into, maybe, if someone wants a little project to kill some time. But as I hastily try and keep talking here to kill some time, got to come up with a name that somehow meets all of those conditions. Only four of them, but they're pretty hard to meet. So let's see. Give me... Oh, God.
All I can think of are people... The biggest names that come to mind all returned. So they're all off the table, too. This is a true nightmare. This is a waking nightmare, Dom, that I guess we're both somewhat responsible for, but I'm placing the majority of the blame on you here.
All right. Give me Jake Billingsley. No more people who were the oldest member of their starting tribe.
Okay, I don't know that I can get you on anything there. So do I want to piggyback now? Because I've come up with a couple people from Thailand who I could play here, but it feels so cheap. No more people who are the oldest person on their original starting tribe. Got it. All right. I will play... I think I can play Vesepia, but I'm not 100%. Let's see. We got V, C, and P. Tauri, I think we are safe. What else are we nervous about? She never came back. She's not the oldest person on her starting tribe. I straight up don't remember already what the other rules are because I've been so focused on... avoiding this consonant thing. Man, I'm so tempted to just send it and whatever happens happens for whether or not Vesepia violates anything. She certainly wasn't eliminated in the same episode as anyone else. She was not eliminated. Let's do it. Let's go Vesepia Tauri. And I, right? Can you, before I...
Hello? Yes?
And another point worth clarifying is a name can certainly be tossed around and then removed from the record. The way a name is submitted is when you give the category for what is no longer acceptable. I think, honestly, worst case scenario is this game is finally over. So I will play Vesepia. And I will do no more, as I make sure that this is definitely what happened, I'm tempted to say no more people who won the final immunity challenge, but now I'm nervous that she did, right?
Did she?
Oh my God. All right, then let's just make it clear. I hate the idea of implementing a rule that person themselves does not even qualify for. I am quite confident she won the final immunity challenge, but let's just keep it simple and say just no more winners.
Okay. I guess, yeah, so that actually removes one of the safety blankets here, but usually the winner, unless they came back, in which case they're already eliminated by default, would not have been... a double boot in their own.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess barring any weird Redemption Island kind of, yeah. But
we're not counting Redemption Island eliminations.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, what I'm thinking was did Chris Underwood get eliminated in the same episode as someone else and then come back and win? But I'm pretty sure that's not the case. In any case, I'm. How many? I get one free challenge, right?
Yes, two incorrect challenges is game over. You do have one to burn, though, so...
Okay, so I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm thinking, who was old on Survivor Marquesas? And so... just looking at these starting tribes, we had Kathy, and I know the old-school Survivor fan is going to hate me here. I don't know for sure which starting tribe Kathy was on. I want to say... because she peed on John, right? And John must have been on the I think?
Yeah, this is embarrassing for you.
Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, God. Yes. Yes.
I mean, you were certainly free to challenge. I do not know whether or not Vesepia was the oldest person on her original starting tribe. I don't believe that was the case, but to not know for Kathy and John which tribe
oh,
they started
sorry.
On.
Well, no, I see, that's the thing too. I want to say Vesepia was late 30s at the time she won. Maybe it was early 30s. Oh, God. This is dicey. Although, hey, I have a challenge to burn. Fuck it. I'm going to challenge you on Vesepia there.
Okay. I can very confidently say that Patricia was older than Vesepia starting tribe.
God. Well, all right. I guess no more lifelines left, so to speak. You would think I could have used some of that time to come up with another person to follow that up with who does meet this criteria, but going to have to do that now.
I'm looking it up. we had... Not only Patricia, we also had Peter Harkey was older than Vesepia.
Oh,
I thought Hunter might have been older than Vesepia, but he was in fact younger. So I'm now going off of the Wikipedia, by the way, to not be cheating.
This is the thing. Even if you knew nothing about Survivor Marquesas, you could safely bet that, especially in that era of Survivor, there was going to be one of these old contestants who was cast as cannon fodder and just got booted very predictably in like the first or second episode. So yeah, That's my bad. Unsuccessful challenge, predictably unsuccessful challenge, and one which will earn me the eternal ire and disrespect of a vast swathe of classical Survivor fans. So not my best showing there.
And you're
sure.
Still somehow the overwhelming fan favorite. You could get so many random trivia things wrong and would still be America's favorite.
The bar is so low, apparently. Okay. That's it's gonna name going here.
I will say preemptively, this rule is never allowed to be in place again. This is too much.
Okay.
We can play through it one time and that's it. We're done with the no more repeating consonants rule.
Okay. Give me Joe Dowdle. No more medevacs.
Okay. And we are not including any non-tribal. They didn't even go to a tribal council in that episode anyway. Obviously did not return. I can't imagine. No, Sandy was on that starting tribe among potentially some others who were on that starting tribe. So I think Joe is probably getting through here. So I will now... go for, man, this is brutal. I will go, another person who was eliminated in a finale that I was very excited to play and now can't. I mean, we're making this sound slightly harder than it is. I'm sure there's still 100 plus very playable names. So when the match is this close, I'm going to do my best to make sure that I don't just punt this one away as well, which has been a pretty recurring theme for me. I am going to say, let's pick someone with a short name from a relatively early season who did not come back or win. Someone fairly obscure. I will go... I gotta brush up on my last names from a lot of these older people. Generally, it doesn't make that much of a difference. But in this case, not loving life here, I will go for... I think I'm going to play Nicole Delma. But no, I'm not, because there are two L's in that.
Got it.
I am instead... going to play, I don't want to play that person because they were probably the oldest one on their tribe. So I will instead do, how's Joanna Ward looking? Is that, if that was indeed her last name, I'm thinking Joanna from the Amazon. I believe that is her last name. WRD, nowhere to be found in the name Joanna, not the oldest person on her team. So I will do that. I will play Joanna Ward from Amazon, and I will do no more people who at any point in their Survivor career played on a season that was a multiple of six.
Okay.
I can't believe how long this game has lasted, to be honest with you right now.
Well, I don't know how many actual rounds this game has lasted for, but a lot of it is just spinning our tires, trying to find names who could fit the bill still. Okay. See, there are definitely episodes in some of these seasons where there are double boot episodes, but I couldn't tell you when they were, who got eliminated or what have you. So, you know, if you're more up to speed on that than I am, then I could get caught out too.
Oh, yeah. Every time we post one of these, we get feedback from, like, all of the challenges we could have won the game on. I'm still worried about, like, whichever one of us is able to eliminate the other person is then going to have to prove it and come up with yet another name. And
right.
This could actually, like, the hardest rule being in place on turn one could turn this into one of the longest games we've ever played.
Yeah, I don't feel so, too glum if, you know, if you get caught out there, because it could easily be flipped back in your favor. Nope, they're a winner. Can't do that. Definitely cannot do that.
And I can, for the record, edit out some of the, like, just silences. Yes. Yeah. This actually, this one's, like, honestly too much to put the 2-minute time limit on. Like, you would have both of us just kind of throwing names out there that we know have to be wrong.
Yeah, there are definitely podcasts I listen to where they go through and they edit out every single verbal tick or pause or anything, any kind of slip up, and you can see why they do it, but the end product feels so polished that it almost kind of like washes over you and it's hard to actually focus because it doesn't sound like a real human conversation.
For the record, like, the extent of the editing process for our podcast in general is I just adjust the volume to make sure that it's as balanced as I can make it, and that is about it. It's all the ums and ahs you can handle.
I used to effectively do that, by the way. I would, like, go through and painstakingly, you know, correct every whatever. And then it's like, no one's got time for that, you know? And no one seems to care all that much when they're listening, or, you know, they seem to find it comforting that people they're devoting their time to listen to are as guilty of this as anyone else. So, yeah, I think that's unnecessary on the whole. What is necessary is finding a name, a goddamn name, that somehow will keep me in this thing.
I forgot the rule that I just played. Oh, multiples of six.
Yeah, and that's proving increasingly difficult here. So, okay. Give me...
You sounded very excited there for a second.
Yeah, I'm just doing the quick check of the rules that I remember, which is certainly not all of them at this point.
So I will say before you play this, I do have my next turn, I think, ready to go, and I'm going to be very upset if you somehow eliminate this person with your rule.
God, this is so bad. So bad.
It's a painful game. The people out there are probably frustrated with how long we're taking and all the hemming and hawing, because it's very easy to come up with names when there are no stakes and you don't have to worry about people hearing this on, again, an audio-only platform where we're not really editing anything significant out. So I understand your frustration here in the moment, Dom, but I will have your back, which is a rare thing for me to be doing on any of these podcasts, where it is so much harder in the moment than it seems like it would be.
Yeah. Okay. Give me Jimmy T. No more people who shared a name with someone else on that season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I can live with that. How are we dealing with nicknames? For instance, if there were a James on that season, would that be allowed rather than Jimmy Johnson?
I think based on, like, Chiron officiality or what they were called, like, by Jeff, you know, when they were voted out, if they were voted out, which they could not have been in the same episode as someone else to be a valid answer, then, like, what is the go-to name to write down on the parchment?
Okay, got it. So with that in mind, you almost, I believe, eliminated my next play if you had made a different ruling there, but you did not. I will play Becky Lee, who I believe was on a season with another Rebecca, but they did not go by Becky. And that may, I may even be wrong about that. It's been a while since I've seen.
No, you're right, but you could have snuck that one past me probably, because like, okay. Who even remembers the great Rebecca Borman?
I am going to go Becky Lee. No more people who share a last name with any other Survivor contestants, whether they are related or not.
Wasn't this exactly the thing that lost me a previous game?
Many things at this point have been categories we've played before, and many also will be categories we never play again.
Yeah, I believe I did get mookied in one of my official low points on No More Lockies.
You did indeed.
Yes. Not a good way to go, let me tell you.
And
still reading from that one.
I just came up with another name, but I've now forgotten what it was.
Huh. Oh, this is so hard.
Okay, I think I have one for my next turn, but we'll see.
This is just a... I mean, there's no guarantee we're going to get to your next turn.
That's
Let's not
true.
Put the... What is it? Cart above the horse, in front of the horse, above the chickens. Whatever the phrase is there. Give me... Oh, no.
Do it.
That's a multiple of six. Can't be doing that.
Oh, I probably wouldn't have noticed, so just play it.
Why do I do this to myself? This is so bad. Like, if I had saved that rule until now, you know, all of the preceding rounds would have been much easier, and now it would seem almost justified to really kind of winnow the field down and ramp up the difficulty. But as it is, I really screwed us both from the outset. I only have myself to blame.
It's all fun and games when it's back on the other person after you've just played a very difficult rule, but then you have to spend the rest of the game abiding by that rule yourself.
Yeah, see, that's the thing I forgot about. Okay, give me, doing quick check here. Okay, give me Scott Pollard. No one who was the tallest person on their season.
Okay. Scott Pollard, no more people who were the tallest on their season. Let me think through that original. Blonde...
Hey, that was not going to be trivial to judge either, but on there we go.
On that original Braun team, we had Darnell, we had Alicia, we had Kyle Jason, we had Scott Pollard, we had Jen, and we had Sydney, right? I think it might be worth a challenge that Scott Pollard might have been the oldest person on that team. I think I'm going to go. I have a challenge to burn. I think I'm going to go for it, that Scott Pollard might have been the oldest person on that team. So
okay,
I'm officially challenging. I'm scrolling now to the Survivor co-run.
40? How is he 40? What the fuck?
Is he the old? I haven't gotten to co-run. I'm at Token Sheens.
He is comfortably the old. I mean, Jenny was 38 apparently. Could have done with a few more years there, Jenny. Come on. But Scott Pollard at a youthful 40. Yeah, the oldest person on the Starling Tribe. Wow.
All right. And
but there is a glimmer of hope. For it does now fall to you to give another valid name.
Okay. And this could take a minute because I now recognize the next name I was about to play also violated one of the other pre-existing rules. So let's not do that. However, we have found ourselves yet again with me staring set point squarely in the face here. And the first two times I was in this spot, I could not have conceivably punted it harder. So I am genuinely going to take a moment here to make sure that I don't give this one away as well. I think I may have to start with a season to make sure I don't accidentally do like a multiple of six. Someone who did not return, was not the oldest person on their tribe, obviously does not have the consonant thing going against them, doesn't share a last name with anyone who was, at the time that they were on Survivor, at the very least, listed by whatever. And the reason I frame it in those terms is I'm tempted to say that John Mish might get through here, even though...
Oh, sure.
Even though Jacqueline, I think, at a certain point became Mish as well. I'm not coming up with any way that it's going to get me in trouble. Although I'm so, just because of past trauma, I'm so ready to have set point yet again and blow it. I don't even remember if the double elimination thing was from this game or from last game. I'm slightly nervous about that, but I would think that a John Mish boot episode would stand on its own. I could take another minute here, probably. I'd be within my rights to think through someone who may be a safer bet than that. So I will instead, I think, play it super safe here, and I'm sorry to do it, but I really can't, I cannot live with myself if I give away yet another, a third set point here. So with that in mind, I am tempted to just go like super old school and obscure and go for like Stephanie Dill. Let me see if there's anything I need to be worried about with Stephanie Dill. No D's or L's in Stephanie. Certainly didn't return. Can't imagine that was a double boot situation. Certainly wasn't the oldest person on her starting tribe. I'm gonna do it. I never thought I would say these words, at least in this order. If you can find something, first of all, I'm not gonna be surprised. I am gonna be characteristically very disappointed in myself, but Dom Harvey, with set number one on the line, Stephanie Dill for the win.
Would you be surprised to learn that Stephanie Dill is from the great state of Delaware?
Is she seriously?
No, but okay. That was one way to go, right? If that were,
I don't know what other challenges you could lodge. What state is she from?
Arkansas, apparently. Based, oh, she's from Ozark, so you know, somewhere that's been thrust into the limelight as of recent.
Incidentally,
year,
but... and this is a point that I feel like I have clarified to you off air multiple times, and you always say yes, and then this sort of thing happens again. You can't be looking stuff up until you are formally challenging on
okay,
it.
Okay. I mean, does this count as a formal challenge?
I mean, you may as well. You have one challenge left, and you're going to lose if you don't find something. But I feel like looking up where she's from is essentially challenging on Delaware.
Sure. So let me see. Not a multiple of six. Not a... No other Dill, to my knowledge, among the Survivor canon.
Didn't even think of that, but I don't think there are.
Let's see, not a medevac. I don't believe... Oh, this was kind of before the era of double boots anyway.
Also forgot about the medevac thing, by the way.
Right. No medevacs here, luckily. God, what else was there? No consonant overlap, not the oldest. No chance she's the tallest, right? I think Rob's a backneck has probably got that one.
A rule does not get implemented if you are eliminated on it, so the Scott Pollard rule is not in play.
Okay. What else was there even now?
I think that might be it.
I think you've got it. I think Stephanie Dill is going to win you the title here.
Let me first of all say... very glad to have set one go my way. It is now officially a 6-3 victory in my favor for set one. Although, again, tennis rules, there could be many more sets still to come here. But feels good to close that out. And much more so, I'm not even kidding when I say it feels better to be done with this specific game than to have won the first set. This game was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, that this was I regret my part in this, that's for sure.
Okay, well, set one officially in the books now. Dom, I think we're still probably pretty reasonably under an hour, so we can take a break ourselves, but get going with set two at a later date here. So for the audience listening, it is not going to be much of a delay here, but for the time being, I very much need kind of a mental reset after whatever the fuck that was.
Yes. Are we going to spice it up at all for set two? Going to change any rules around? Broaden the scope maybe to like international survivors? Or what are we going to do here?
We can talk about that off air. I will say, I feel like I am not even remotely qualified to include international survivor. I've never rewatched a single season of International Survivor, and I have forgotten most of what I've seen. So I think we should keep it. And furthermore, I think most of the people listening to this have either never seen, never rewatched, or don't remember much of International Survivor either. So I think let's keep it to U.S. Survivor, but we can talk about any potential rule changes. But for now, set number one in the books, well played, for the most part by both of us, I would say, but we will see what set two has in store just after this. Okay, we're back. A couple of days have now passed since the first two games that we played in this episode, and Dom, before we get into game number three here, I want to say a couple of things that crossed my mind during this brief hiatus here. First of all, as soon as we hung up, I realized that when I was attempting to find a challenge on Alexis Maxwell and spent forever looking for her in a bow tie, the bow tie rule wasn't even in place because I did not get the Evie play through there. So that would have
been
a lost cause either way. So let's try to be on top of that, mostly a note to myself in the future there. And then the other thing that I realized is I hope we have collectively learned some lessons here, Dom, and lessons that we will probably forget whenever we go an extended amount of time between games of No More Lockies in the future. But for now, I'm hoping we can keep it in the back of our minds that when you play a rule that diabolical, especially on turn number one, such that every single turn is inevitably going to begin by the person thinking, okay, let's make sure I definitely don't violate this one, because it's impossible to forget about, and furthermore, one that requires an abnormal amount of time to potentially at least find someone who doesn't violate it, that is the recipe for a very long game rather than a very short game. I think the key to a short game is rules that are easy to forget. And so when we were talking during that first turn about like, oh, this one's going to last 5-8 minutes or whatever, I think we had it the logic there kind of backwards. So let's try to bear that in mind going forward.
duly noted. I do think there is a crucial difference here between length in terms of turns within the game and then actual time elapsed, where, you know, you can imagine a game with a rule like that one, a truly diabolical rule, taking not that many turns in total, but just each turn being agonizingly long as we rack our brains just to find anyone who could meet that rule, let alone all of the others, which we have hopefully remembered still during that time.
And let me flag up for the record how much harder you tried to make that game with initially proposed rule. Like, that, it would have been a nightmare. But either way, set number one officially in the books. We now wipe the slate clean, Dom. We smash the hourglass. It is 0-0 as we embark upon set number two. I believe it is the case that you set that first rule in the last game, so now you give me a season and I will play the first turn here as we kick off our second set.
All right, well, let's go right to the bottom of the barrel here. Give me someone from Survivor Redemption Island.
Redemption Island. I have blocked that season for the most part out of my mind for many, many years at this point. However, conveniently, The Survivor historians have recently began heard it both ways covering that season, and so I have had my memory jogged a bit there. Let's kick things off with, for set number two, a fun first name here from Redemption Island. Not the easiest season, I'll be honest, from which to find a fun first name. Let's go for Christina Kell. How about that? Let's do Christina Kell, and let's do no more first names and last names that both begin with the same letter.
Okay, I like that. Should not be too tough to get tripped up by that one. Not even sure who would be in the mix. I guess the great Krista Klump from the same season.
There are plenty that could hang you up. I think the key is not forgetting about that rule.
Mm. Okay.
But if we both forget about it, then it's no problem at all for either of us.
Well, sure. Of course. So let's see. Where are we going to go next? So after being... You came perilously close, I think, to playing John Mish in a previous game. Let's go with John Mish. No more people from the great state of Michigan.
I did not know he was from Michigan. I don't know who else is from Michigan. So this could be a fun little landmine there. I guess if all else fails, either one of us can go for a bailout challenge at the end and just hope that they are from Michigan, the same way that you're just kind of hoping that Stephanie Dill happened to be from Delaware. Turns out it was not Delaware. Thank you. Although, let me also clarify one more time, just for the people at home and perhaps for someone participating in this very game. You can't be looking stuff up and then deciding whether or not to challenge on it based on whether or not the challenge would get through. To look things up, you need to officially use a challenge. But I think we're all
Honestly, my mistake there was not forcing you to name another contestant from Delaware. I think, honestly, that might have been my best shot at that point.
I couldn't do it.
I know.
Yeah. So, okay, John Mish off the board. No more Michigan people. I guess I will...
Are they Michiganders, I believe the anatomically correct term is?
I will take your word for that.
But I think it's fun to have a rule like that where you don't know who complies with it and who doesn't, but it's just lurking there as a way to suddenly overturn the result at the last segment of any given game.
Exactly. I'm never going to be challenging you on anyone being from Michigan. I got a couple names in mind that if you somehow stumble into them, I think I would throw out a Michigan challenge, but it's going to take a lot for me to do that with any real confidence. So that may be a kind of last ditch effort if I find myself needing to challenge to save the game. But okay, we have Christina off the board. We have John Mish off the board. I am going to go for a name that I remember coming up in some semi-recent podcast that we did that I said, oh, that would be a fun play for No More Lockies. I've tried to work this person in to the first couple of games, could not find a good opportunity. So let's do it now. Dom, I am going to play and just hope that they are not from Michigan, or at least that you don't know they are from Michigan. I am going to go for Chet Welch, our old friend.
Okay.
I'm going to go Chet Welch, and I am going to do No More People where the first two letters of their first name can also be found anywhere in any order in their last name. So in this case, the CH in Chet are also there. They don't have to be right next to each other. They can be anywhere in the last name. So for instance, Rob Cesternino now off the board because R-O in Rob also there in Cesternino.
Oh, come on.
It's not that hard.
I can't wait for your next two. No combinations of three letters that also appear, which I guess actually, if you're violating that, then you're also violating this rule just by default. So I guess that would be a pretty bad rule to try and institute that.
But... Yeah, feel free to try to play someone and then play that rule afterwards. I would love to see you try.
Yeah. Okay, well, with that in mind, I will move swiftly on to... God, that's so annoying. God.
It's not. Listen, you are in no position to talk about annoying rules being put in place.
New set, new year, new me, or same old me. We're going to, you know, dredge something up before too long.
But... Also the same year, but you are right that it is the same set.
Sure.
Or a new set, rather.
Hmm.
That one's not that brutal.
Okay. Give me Amanda Kimmel, no more people with the same number of letters in their first name as their last name.
Oh, that's spicy. That one's going to get me in trouble.
Getting very self-referential here.
That one could be rough times. Okay, and let me, I'm just doing the math. Yeah, it does appear to check out that Amanda and Kimmel are both six letters. I do know that Amanda is famously from the great state of Montana, so I don't think I have a Michigan challenge there. I think you're clean on the letters one, so it is back over to me now. And I almost played someone that would have been a big mistake to play because their first and last name both began with the same letter. Let's do our old friend. I think I'm going to go for Ramona Gray, but give me a minute to make sure. I think we're okay there. I'm going to do Ramona Gray, and I'm going to do... I'm already paranoid. I'm thinking this through before I state any kind of rule. I don't think she's from Michigan. I am going to go... I feel like I remember seeing her... being from like the Philly area, but that may be wrong. I am going to play no more people who have a color anywhere in their name. So it doesn't have to be the full name. So the name that I was going to use to play this rule was going to be Ben Browning, but of course his first and last name start with the same letter. So
I was literally going to volunteer this role, but I couldn't actually think of an example anymore because Mike White, off the board, with the double letter thing, Sarita White, same deal. So you really got to dig deeper, and we found a meeting of the mind somehow.
Yes, so anywhere in the name, if you can find, the letters have to be in consecutive order to spell out a color, but it doesn't have to be the complete name, just a color hidden within someone's name.
God.
And it's got to be a color people have heard of. I don't want any of your like, oh, I can frantically Google and find out that this is some obscure color.
Okay, give me Clay Jordan. No more people who lost in the finals by a single vote.
Okay. I think you were probably safe on the Michigan thing. I know Clay has a pretty thick accent. It does not sound to me like Michigan. I think you're fine on the letters, so, and no colors that I can think of. So I am going to go for, let's see, let's try to come up with something. Oh, God, I both don't know various people's last names that I would be interested in playing right now, and also don't know how many letters would be thus included in those last names. So that would be kind of a gamble. I will go for someone who I know is for sure not from Michigan, because they're not from America, and I know that their last name is not the same number of letters as their first name, although I don't know precisely how to pronounce their last name. I feel safe on the rest of the rules that are coming to mind, so I'm going to play Erica, our most recent winner. And can you give me the correct pronunciation of her last name?
I can't. I can give you the letters in it. Cassie Panin, I want to say. Cassie Panin.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Heard it both ways. I am going to play Erica, and I am going to go for, as usual, have my little moment of panic here before officially declaring my rule that I'm somehow going to get burned by playing this person. But I feel okay about Erica, and I am going to go for no more people. Hang on. Let's think about the colors. Are there any colors in there? None that are coming to mind. I'm going to go for no more people who share a name with anyone who made the finals on Big Brother. And I'm going to limit that to BB2,
wow,
BB2 through BB19, the seasons that we watched.
Okay. I like it, actually. I didn't know. I mean, I guess the contestants themselves in Big Brother are not in the pool here that we can draw upon, but I kind of like reaching out into another franchise there, you know, building some bridges.
Okay.
Love it. I mean, I don't love that I now can't think of a name, but we can remedy that. We can work on that.
I feel like the board is still pretty open at this point.
So we got to dredge up some truly obscure names here.
Let's do it. Let's find some deep cuts for this one.
Yeah, I feel like I wasted my Clay Jordan far too quickly here. You know, could have kept that one in my pocket.
I'm going to say Clay Jordan, not even deep enough. I feel like we can go a lot deeper than that.
Let's see if we can. So,
and I put that, I say that now without a single name in mind for my own turn. So I should probably be prepping for the future here as well.
Yeah. Okay. Give me Giuseppe Attari. No more people who. Okay. Valchek. No more people who won their season by a single vote.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and avoid finalists, and I would probably say winners are not the deepest cuts we could be coming up with here, but I respect the play either way.
I didn't say right now when you just sprung this upon me and I was, there with my back up against the wall, but give me some time. I'll find someone.
Okay. I will go in. Let's try to find someone who's kind of a deep cut for a recent season. Let's go. I'm going to try to find someone. Oh man, I'm getting wrecked by these six letter names that are also six letter last names on people that do you understand how badly I would love to play Lauren Rimmer right now? That would be a dream come true.
You would always have to play Lauren Rimmer.
It's just the way the game goes. Okay, I already forgot about my own rule that I imposed last turn, so let's not mess that up. No more finalists or people I need to be nervous about. Are there any kind of other game conditions I don't think that have come up yet? So, for whatever reason, the name, it's not a deep enough cut. I'm not satisfied with Kat Ederson being a deep enough cut. And if this ends up costing me the game, I deserve it. But I'm gonna look elsewhere because Kat does not feel obscure enough. Instead of finding someone from a newer season, I honestly am more comfortable with people from back in the day, at least as far as last names are concerned. So let's go. Man, it's already getting to the point where I'm going to have a hard time, I think, playing.
Look, if you're already struggling to just come up with a name, then trying to find a name that's hipster enough for your satisfaction is, we're going to be here a while.
Okay, I'm going to toss the name out there, Linda Spencer. And I'm going to see if I have any reason to be concerned about that. I don't have anything coming to mind. I'm going to go Linda Spencer, and I'm going to play one of the classics. I'm going to play the Dom Harvey rule of no more last names that are commonly first names. And they can also be commonly last names, but as long as they're not commonly first names as well, then you're fine.
Okay, I think I just about follow that. All right. Give me. I think that's fine. Give me Janet Koff. Deep cut. Thank you. No more people who. Valchek. No more people who were ever on a single sex tribe.
Okay. And does that mean a deliberately single sex tribe or a tribe that one way or another got down to only people? I'm going to take that to mean Amazon, Vanuatu, and One World.
Yes. Now that you ask that, I kind of want to go for that, but it's going to make it so difficult. No, just who were deliberately placed on an initial single sex tribe.
Okay. I am going to in one way piggyback a little bit off of that, but in not the conventional way, where you play one Janet. I'm going to go for Janet Carbon, I believe. I'm okay on the letters there. I'm okay, I think, on the placements there. And I am going, I think, was there anything about, like, idols? Did we play, I don't think we have any idol troubles to be worried about at this point. I'm going to go for, are there colors that I don't think so. I think I'm okay. I'm going to go for No More People, where you can remove one letter from their first name and come up with, in the same order, the name of a different Survivor contestant. So in this case, from Janet to Jane, like Jane.
Or Jane to Jan.
Yeah, sure. Either way.
Yeah. I wonder what the longest, like...
It appears Dom... Are you still talking, or are you thinking? It seems like you might have cut out there mid-sentence, but I believe I know what you were attempting to say. Let's see if Dom is... Dom, talk right now if you can hear me. Okay, we lost Dom. 1 second.
I think I may be inclined to challenge you on this one.
Oh, and, God.
So I actually gave this challenge already, a little behind-the-scenes info here, and heard nothing back in return. And I assumed Colin was so ashamed of the egregious, unforced error that he just made that he didn't even know what to say. Turned out the call had just dropped, and I was gloating into the void here. But time to find out if my gloating is justified, because when I sit down and I look at the name Janet and I look at the name Carbon, I see an A, I see an N. I see an A, and I see another N.
It's the first two letters. It's J-A. The first two letters. And I gave Rob Sesternino as the example and specifically said, because the R and O from Rob are... I'm going to not count this as a challenge against you. Like, you still have both of your challenges, because the rule was apparently unclear. But I think the listeners at home are 100% clear on what I meant.
Well, I've been playing this game on hard mode now for a while, because you would not believe how many just random pairs of contestant names overlap with at least two letters in them. It's a lot, as it turns out. So,
it's just the first two letters cannot then appear in their last name.
Okay, I in any order, right?
So in any order.
No A and plus J in any... Okay.
Right.
What was the rule that you just gave for Janet?
The subtracting a letter and being able to come up with a different Survivor contestant.
Okay. sure. Give me...
The good news is the game just got way easier for you now that you know the actual rule that was in play.
Yeah. I guess staying on that season and just latching on to the most infamous example here, give me... Dan Spilo, No More People Who Were Expelled From a Season.
Okay, I'm not sure how many other people have been expelled from a season.
I'm counting, like, Brandon Hans as an expulsion, even though it was officially, you know.
Okay, I'm glad that you took the liberty of naming another and making it clear that you really wanted to play that person, because apparently Dan is someone you enjoy bringing up. I will also add, Dan... is a familiar name to me, perhaps because a person named Dan has made the finals on Big Brother multiple times and then been on this very podcast.
Fucking Dan Giesling. Why?
Yep. Screwed over by Dan Giesling. You are not alone, my friend.
I always said Will was my favorite.
Yes. All right. So it is now... over to me, and for anyone unclear, Dom has violated the Big Brother finalist shared name rule. Dan Giesling was in the finals on Big Brother multiple times. And you, by the way, you have no idea how many times I kept thinking about playing someone named Mike that I had to back myself away from. Okay, so it is over to me to try to prove it here and go up 1-0 in set number one. I kind of want to do it on a deep cut. However, another name has come to mind to me that I think I'm okay on, and I'd rather just wrap it up than start set two off on a bad note. Let me be 100% sure, and I'm kind of in the danger zone here because this was a finalist, but I'm overwhelmingly confident that this person won by a wide enough margin that I'm going to be okay here. And if this comes back to burn me, then there's no one with whom I would rather go down on the sinking ship here. Then how about Ethan Zahn for the win?
So no Ethans on Big Brother.
Never played on any tribes, separated by gender. The letters I think I'm okay on. I don't believe he's from Delaware.
No, I don't think he's from Michigan either.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. And for the record, the two Michiganders that came to mind for me, I believe Mike Scoopin is from Michigan.
Sure,
and I want to say Clarence Black is from Michigan as well. But he also violates the color, the last name, pretty overtly a color there. So avoiding him for multiple reasons. I think I'm okay on Ethan, but if you have anything, let me know.
I wish I did. He's played 3 times. There's no, like, weird... No. Yeah, I think you're good.
Okay. All right. Game number one of set number two. God. Officially in the books here. That was a much more fun and competitive, and I'm hoping easier listening experience than that middle game was. But there we go. Dom, I think that's probably enough for this 1 week, but I am certainly back. I'm certainly excited to be back in the No More Lockies zone, just more generally during at least this offseason. I could certainly see this being something we return to a bit more regularly than we were with Survivor 41 going on. Anything else you want to get out there for the people this week?
I hate you. I hate this game. I hate myself. But I love all of you out there, the listeners. So please tune in for future installments.
What finer note on which to wrap up? Dom is, of course, on Twitter at DomHRV. I am on Twitter at Colin Stone. And I guess because I haven't said this yet, and I always feel like a complete fraud if we do even one episode of No More Lockies without bringing it up, this is a complete ripoff of a much, much better YouTube series devised by three guys that some out there may know from, like, the Taskmaster extended universe, originally under the title of No More Jockeys, which I would strongly recommend to anyone who likes just this kind of game format in general. Alex Horn, Tim Key, Mark Watson doing fantastic stuff over there. They certainly don't need us plugging them to boost their numbers or anything, but I always want to give credit where it's due. So for this round, I want to throw that out there one time as well. I believe that is going to wrap it up for us here today. I'm sure back in the not too distant future for some more No More Lockies, set number two off to a fierce start. I feel like that was a pretty good game here, kicking off set number two. Bonus episodes going on over on the Patreon feed at patreon.com/DomandColin. Currently underway with a Survivor Gabon rewatch. So if that would interest you, definitely hit that subscribe button over there. One more time, patreon.com/DomandColin. But I believe that is going to do it for us here today. Thank you for making it this far. We will talk soon. Take care, everybody.